Let us now read our second scripture reading, which you can find in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 34. So the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. There we hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ as follows. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, that means don't be anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thus far, God's precious word, as the Lord Jesus spoke to us through his word. We now will administer the sacrament of baptism. Let us therefore read, first of all, the form of the administration of baptism. You can find that in the blue book of the Psalter, page 127. In the back of your Psalter, after the Psalters, 126 rather. Congregation, children, young people, parents, most of us probably know this beautiful song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. And we love to sing it. We can sing it even in canon sometimes, with that hallelujah weaving itself through that verse that spurs us on, seek first the kingdom of God. If the Lord would give life to these just baptized children, it's one of those songs that you would like to teach them. But more important is that you don't just teach this song to your children or have them memorize these beautiful verses. That's all necessary and good, but the more difficult part in our lives is to live it out, what this passage is saying. To live it out, what the Bible is teaching, together as a family. seeking God's kingdom first. How do we do that? And his righteousness, what does that mean? And all these things shall be added unto you. Which things are being added unto us? And why did the Lord Jesus teach this? When we try to answer these questions for ourselves, we will discover from the context of this passage that this has close connection to our day-to-day lives, the way we live, the choices that we make. And our focus has been last week a little bit already on money and possessions. Now we would like to focus on how does it work in our family. So it's loosely connected with what we as a congregation considered last week in the Eighth Commandment. But my prayers especially this morning, that it might be practical for you as parents, a guidance, a reminder of your focus in light of baptism and raising these little ones for God's glory. So this message in a certain way picks up where we were left off last week. Jesus has shown in the preceding verses of our text how we are to see our possessions. He has said to us very clearly that we are stewards, we are not owners. And we are called to invest with everything that we have with an eternal perspective in mind. And then after that, the Lord teaches a fundamental principle of our text in Matthew 6, verse 33. That's our text this morning. And where this theme of trust is continued, you need to trust me. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As we desire to consider that this morning, our theme simply is this, seek God's kingdom first. We consider, first of all, kingdom priority. Our text says that we are to seek the kingdom first. That means it needs to have priority. And then secondly, kingdom provision. Our text says that all these things shall be added unto you. Kingdom priority, kingdom provision. May the Lord reign and rule in our hearts as we think about his kingdom, that he is king, as we listen to his instructive and precious word this morning. Our text this morning, first of all then, kingdom priority, begins with these words, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. These are words that the Lord Jesus spoke when he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon which the Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples and the crowds about how to live in light of God's kingdom when he started his ministry. In light of him, the Messiah, who had come to bring this kingdom into the hearts and the minds of the people. Jesus came to confront evil. Jesus came to restore the rule and the reign in our hearts, in our lives of sinful people. And Jesus came together a family, the family of God, who are touched and changed by the forgiveness and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we to live before the Lord in light of that kingdom? Our Lord already showed in this sermon something important in Matthew 5 verse 20. He says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness that shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what he said before this. That means if you want to go to heaven, simply said, the kingdom that he will establish one day, the kingdom that Jesus will establish one day fully, we now see some of it in the hearts and lives of changed people, then you need a special kind of righteousness. You need a righteousness that's greater than outward religious righteousness. The religious righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. Outward religion is not going to help you on your way to enter into heaven. That's what Jesus said before this, before our text. And in this sermon, the Lord Jesus illustrated that over and over, didn't he? He showed that the law is spiritual and that our desires, the desires of our heart, show us something of what is in our heart. When sinful desires come out of our heart, he shows that that is against God's commandment. For instance, when he speaks about that hating, if you hate someone, that is murder. When you look or lust, looking to someone and lusting to someone, that's adultery. So the Lord Jesus says, you need a better kind of righteousness. Better than the scribes and Pharisees. So the Lord Jesus says to his disciples then, in our text, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what your focus is to be. What does that mean? This means that every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ must learn to have the right priorities in your life, in his or her life. Simply put, God needs to be king in your life. And so that's the first question I want to ask you. Is God king in your life? Or who is on the throne of your life this morning? Parents, as you parent your children, also these little ones, it's all about setting the right priorities in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. God first, others second, self last. Putting God first and others second are closely connected, one with the other. Now our text says that we are to seek God's kingdom. What does that mean? It means that in everything we do, we seek to honor God. The baptismal form said that we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Basically, the Lord is asking you completely this morning. I want all of you. And that with it, everything in us, we seek to advance God's kingdom. Everything in us. Even with everything that we possess. And this is important that children see that in us as parents. That they see that mom and dad love the Lord with their whole heart. And they confess when things go wrong. They see that they walk with the Lord. And they love and trust the Lord even with their possessions. That you use them for the kingdom of God. Yes, that they will see that you have the right priorities in your life with regard to money and possessions. And Jesus warns and instructs us, there's verses leading up to this, that is also important with regard to everything that you have. Because he said in 6 verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, which means money. In a society wherein we live, where money and possessions is idolized, we as parents are to prayerfully think how we teach our children. So that they don't start to build their own kingdom with all the things that they have. And think that they are in control of their own lives. No, they need to see in your life, and they need to learn for their own life that there is one in control, and that's God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is to be worshipped by each and every one he has created. So we are to teach by example and by word that God calls them to be stewards of everything they have. That begins already very young. You teach them to share their food or their toys. And when they grow up, you ask them, did you pray about the things that you want to buy? I mean, are you using them prayerfully? Maybe you are to help them to build in a waiting period. So that they think and pray over it. You are to teach them that God is first in all these things. His honor, his kingdom is first. He is the owner of everything and anything. He rules over all things. So our text says, But seek ye the king first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what does that mean? Righteousness. Well, very simply put this morning, righteousness means doing what is right, doing what God approves of. But notice that this text says it's not our righteousness this morning. It's God's righteousness. And we are to seek after that. That is, we need to pursue it with all in us, everything in us. What does that teach us? That this righteousness must come from God, that we are dependent upon God, the Lord, for this righteousness. What righteousness was the Lord Jesus speaking about here? First and foremost, he's speaking about this greater righteousness than the scribes and the Pharisees, who just tried in their own strength to be good people outwardly so that everyone would be praised. Everyone would praise them, rather. No, the Lord Jesus says, you need a better righteousness. A righteousness that is coming from God. He's speaking about his very own righteousness. He's doing what God approves of. His perfect law-keeping in your place. That's his righteousness. His dying on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, for sinners who idolize the things of this world instead of God who gives these things to richly enjoy. You know why this Lord Jesus Christ can stand in your place and give you this righteousness? He was perfect. He was blameless. He was without sin in these things. He trusted his Father daily, moment after moment. How do we know? Well, he was tempted in the wilderness one day. Satan came at him with all kinds of gifts and said, you can have this. One of the things he offered, he said, look at the world. I give you the kingdom. But it was the kingdom without cross. Without a cross, he could not save his people. That cross is there. And he chose the cross. He chose to deny himself with this offer where he would have pleasure and enjoyment and the kingdom, so to say, immediately, which is not true because the devil lies. But the devil said, you can have it. You can have it without cross, without difficulties. And that's what the Lord, what the devil is still doing. He says, okay, you can have the world without cross, without difficulties, without trials. You can just enjoy it. Seek my kingdom first. The Lord Jesus says this morning, seek God first and his righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ, who stood against this kind of temptation in the place of sinners who give in by nature to these kind of temptations. Seek God's kingdom first and the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. Is that your righteousness this morning? Have you learned to trust him with everything that you have, with everything that you possess? Then you're blessed. And parents, it's that righteousness that you may come to your children with and say, look, the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. He can stand in your place. He can take away your sins. You may trust him. You may trust him. But that's not all, because when we, as true Christians, seek God's kingdom first and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to make a difference in the way we are going to live. So the first kind of righteousness that we are to seek is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second kind of righteousness is the righteousness to live for the Lord with everything that we have. That's a difference in how we see our possessions and our money. That's a difference in how we, the goals we set in child rearing, that not goods, but God is king, and He is central. It's going to make a difference in the way we trust God to provide for everything that we need. It will be a difference that is going to be observed by our children when they grow older. Now, if you are not seeking the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and not seeking God's kingdom first this morning, the opposite is true too. When you are in your family, your children are going to see that. They will pick up on that very quickly. When your religion is just a religious veneer this morning, when God is maybe being acknowledged at the meal times, and for the rest you live like the world, you crave the things of the world. When they perhaps hear you even say that you know the Lord, but basically when they see and observe your life, they see you're living for something else. Something else is controlling you. And that's your own kingdom, your own possessions, your money. How do they see that? They see that when things seem to go out of control. Because what's happening then is that you start to panic and you start to be angry or anxious. That shows to a certain extent that God is not first. Now the Lord Jesus calls each and every one of us this morning to set the right kind of priorities in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's going to include self-denial. In the way we deal with the things of the world, in the way we train our children. But the Lord is able to teach you. If you say, I don't know how to do this, the Lord is able to teach you this morning. And the Lord can sometimes take difficult lessons in your life in how He deals with you. He takes something away and just shows you that you are not trusting because there's this frustration, this anger coming up or so. He's going to teach you. If you ask Him, He will. And you will discover that trusting God is better than trusting in all these things that can just be there one moment and gone the next moment. Seeking God's first kingdom first means learning to trust that God is King in your life. Absolutely necessary for all of us this morning. Otherwise, you will never seek God's kingdom first. And when you're here today as a professing believer, He will teach that to you. He will test you with your possessions. And when you respond angrily or anxiously or desperately, it shows that you don't have complete trust in your Heavenly Father who cares for you. But here's the other thing. He is worthy to be trusted. Because the Lord Jesus says, before He teaches the Lord's Prayer to His disciples, He said, your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. He knows everything that we really need. And therefore we are to trust that He is the one who provides for us. And when we learn to trust Him, that's the only way we are going to set the right kingdom priorities. It's all about setting the right priorities. What does it mean for us practically? Here are some practical examples. It means that we trust God to provide for us when we have or don't have work. It means that we trust God as we do our work faithfully, and that we do our work and everything for His glory, both schoolwork, young people, your job, or the things, or any kind of work. It means that you trust God when you have enough, or you don't seem to have enough money. It means that you trust God for the next meal, And we often think, oh, we have much. We have the next meal ready. We have money for it. And so it's easy for us to trust, isn't it? But are we really trusting? Means that we really prayerfully trust God. For instance, when we need new clothes, and we go prayerfully, and the Lord provides for us, and we give thanks for that. These kind of things, simple things, means that we trust God when it seems we have or don't have enough. Don't have enough energy to go through the day and to do our work. Means that we are satisfied with what God gives us. And that we are not constantly looking, okay, but this person has more than me. And this person is going a further destination, a desirable destination of for his vacation than I go. And it means that we don't buy everything that we want or like. And so we can go on and on and on. In other words, it means that we learn to trust God, that God will provide the things we really need. And that in everything that He does, God is doing the best thing for us, as we saw from the baptismal form, for the best purposes, with the best intentions. And that we learn to be content with what we have. How do we do that? By dependently in prayer, learning to trust Him when you don't know it, when you don't know how you need to go forward. When the Lord gives us prayer throughout the day, that means that He is our King. We acknowledge Him as King. If you're not going throughout the day praying to Him for all these things, then you're showing that you are building your own kingdom, that you're full of pride. But not only prayer, also the Word of God, that we trust the Word of God and what people speak into our lives about that Word. As we observe the sacrament of baptism today, what does it have to do with our parents? It has parenting. It has to do much with our parenting. How do you as a family seek God's kingdom first? As we live in such a way that the things of the world do not dominate our thoughts, our actions, our talks. How we need God's grace, don't we? We seek God's kingdom first when we understand that caring for our children is more than food and clothing. More than education. God needs to be first in our lives. We seek God's kingdom first in our family when we understand that caring for school payments and a good Christian school and bringing them up faithfully to church and catechism is not enough. But here's the key point. If you forget what I've said before, then keep these things that I'm going to say now in your mind. Your children need to see in you and hear from you what it means that God is King in your life. You need to model seeking the kingdom first. When you do family devotions, when you talk about your money and possessions and the way you deal with it and the way you respond to if you have not enough or when you lose something. The way you trust God for your daily provision, they need to see, my parents trust God for that. We seek God's kingdom first in our family. When you understand that life is not about making our children happy with all kinds of things and giving them as much as they want. Instead, we seek God's kingdom when we show them that the greatest gift there is that they learn to be content and seek God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their King of their lives, who provides all the things they need. He is the greatest gift. He is the provider. Have you submitted to this King? Parents, are these your priorities also with the grace of God? Is that what you, with the help of the Lord, are teaching them? What a responsibility we have as parents. And each one of us is going to fail in various areas. And maybe you say, I have failed already. That's inevitable with parents who are sinners. The difference, though, is how you then deal with that. Whether you confess your sins and shortcomings and renew your trust in Christ and trust the promises that He gives also in baptism and renew your trust in His righteousness, His perfect law keeping, or whether you say, I'm going to be stuck in the rut, I want to continue to be my own king in my own life with all that things that I have. When you are going to humbly confess your sins and shortcomings, we need to remember this too. Who is speaking here in this text? It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's the one, although He didn't have an earthly family, He had a spiritual family. He was gathering that spiritual family. He is the one who is the king of that kingdom, who is able to teach you, who is able to empower you against sin, and who is able to supply that righteousness for you that covers all your unrighteousness. How forgiving the Lord Jesus Christ is when we come and confess our sins to Him. It's that same Lord Jesus Christ who knows the goodness of God perfectly, because He is the one who one day from eternity basked in the presence of God the Father. And it's that Lord Jesus Christ who came all the way down to save people like you and me who don't trust Him. And it's that Lord Jesus who says in the parallel verse to this text, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you see how gracious the Lord Jesus Christ is? In other words, we should not be afraid. The Father delights to give the kingdom to you. Do you trust that word? Or do you say, yes, but? He delights to help those who say, Lord, I've sinned in this area, but Lord, teach me now to seek God's kingdom first. Those who humbly ask and plead and pursue the promises. And you may, if you are looking to the Lord like that, you may be assured that the Lord is going to help you. That's what the baptism form says as well, based on the promises of God. And how comforting that is. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ are comforting. And you know, He delights to hear cries of people who say, I don't know, Lord, how to do it, but teach me. And He delights to hear the cry of those who start to pray, let Thy kingdom come, Lord, first in my heart, in my family next, and in the congregation too, and in this world. Because I've seen something of the forgiveness and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that every one of us needs to have. This world can be set free by the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that's what you are, by the grace of God, may bring to your children, to the little ones. Now let's sing about this kind King of the kingdom and see more of how He provides for us and how we ought to trust Him for that. In Psalter 304, 3 and 4, 7 and 8. The Lord wants all of us this morning to seek God's kingdom first. He is priority number one. That was our first thought. Now we look at kingdom provision. In the past, a king's task was to assure the allegiance first of his people, and then he would provide everything necessary. And God, for Jesus Christ, God the Heavenly Father is such a king. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things that will be added unto us? They are food and clothing, basics of life, not all the luxuries. Jesus, in the surrounding verses to our text, makes it very plain. If you're not going to trust me, that's actually folly. His argument starts all the way in verse 19. And then he ends that with this conclusion in verse 24. You shouldn't serve God and mammon you should trust me with everything you have, including your money. Now, in light of that, verse 25 says, therefore, in light of the fact that God, not money, should be your treasure and king, I say unto you, take no thought. Take no thought means don't be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and nor yet for your body what you shall put on. So the Lord Jesus is making a very strong statement here. Don't be anxious about the necessary provisions in your life. He promises to give the very basics of our lives. And he's going to argue with us for a moment. He's going to give us examples of that. And he's going to say, I will provide for your food and clothing, for your daily provision. The Lord Jesus knows, when he was speaking these words, how much anxiety there really is about daily provisions, worry about possessions, and everything that we have. And the question, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we clothe ourselves with, are questions that are asked by millions every day, with different words in different languages. But the Lord Jesus says, first my kingdom, my righteousness, then trust me fully for all those things, like food and clothing. Because if you don't, that shows that God is your money. And money is going to be powerless. It loses its value in your life. Your trust is not to be in possessions, but to be in the living God who is able to provide for your needs. What a comfort that is. What a comfort that is. What rest and stability that can give to a believer. And at the end of verse 25, the Lord Jesus then asks this question, is life more than food? And the body more than raiment, it says there, clothing? Isn't your life more important that you live than what you eat? And your body more important than your clothing? And he asks this question to us. What is your answer? Yes? Jesus asked this question to make us think. If God cares for your life and your body, which are more important, how much more will he care for your food and clothing? So the Lord Jesus is teaching us not to be anxious about the provisions, because it's unprofitable. He says in verse 27, it's not going to add anything to your life. Which of you, by taking thought, that's mean by being anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? Can you become taller by worrying? That's what it can mean. Can also mean, can you add a day to your life by worrying about all these things? It's unprofitable. It only will decrease your life. It will be unprofitable to you. But not only it's unprofitable, it's unnecessary. Verse 26, God cares for your life. He cares for your body. And then he gives this example, that he cares also for your food. Children, have you ever wondered, when you look at the birds, maybe you saw them this morning, they don't harvest, they don't sow seed, they don't gather into barns. That's what people do. Farmers have that task. We've recently seen that. But birds, how do they get their food? The Lord cares for them, the Lord Jesus says. And he says to us, behold the fowls or the birds of the air. Take notice of them. Study them. Consider them. And observe how they are provided for. Go outside and look at the birds and see how the Lord provides for them. Your Heavenly Father takes care of these little creatures, these little birds. They fly around without worry. God provides for each of them. Are you not of much more value than birds? You are a creature created in His image. Will He not care for you? Some are unnecessary to worry about food, but also about clothing. And the Lord Jesus shows another example. He says, go outside, take a look at the flowers of the field, the lilies, it says here. Some kind of wild flower. Make a study of them. How do they grow? Children, do flowers need to work hard to grow? Children, do they spin? In other words, do they make their own clothes? No, they don't do anything. God takes care of those beautiful flowers, and so they grow. Verse 29 says, even Solomon, the wisest, the richest king in the Bible, he had much money and many beautiful clothes. He was not able to clothe himself like one of these wildflowers. The care that God takes for these little flowers is amazing. It's unnecessary to worry. But that's not all. Even the little blade of grass, the Lord cares for that. The blade of grass was going to be cast in the oven to be a fuel for the oven. And literally it says here in these verses, God dresses up that little blade of grass. Now, if He does that, how much more should we trust Him? If He cares for the food and the tiny little bird and the beautiful wild flower, and He continues to care for the grass that is thrown into the fire, He even dresses it up beautifully. How much more will He take care of those who call upon Him and those who trust Him? Children, do you see how the Lord Jesus is teaching here? He says, look at these birds. Look at them. Learn. He picks up this flower. He picks up this blade of grass and says, look, learn. Think about this. Learn about God's care. Why do you and I worry? Why are we so anxious? Maybe not even about food and drink. Why are we so often so slow to believe? Isn't it perhaps because we want so much for ourselves? Why are we so slow to believe? He says it in verse 30, O ye of little faith, why don't you trust the loving care of our Heavenly Father? If He cares for the bird, flower, simple grass, why worry? He can care for each of our needs. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. It's a sign of unbelief when we worry. A sign of unbelief that we don't believe that God is good, that God is great, and that God is able to provide for us. Yes, actually, if we live craving these things and not trusting the Lord for them, the Lord groups us with the atheist, actually. That's what we see in the following verse, verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The one who doesn't believe in God, he seeks for those, he craves them. And he has anxiety about them. If God, and he wants to have more, and so his anxiety increases. The Lord Jesus draws here a sharp contrast. Seek first the kingdom of God. Or the other thing that's happening to you is you are going to seek what the unbeliever seeks. You are going to crave for the things the world craves for. But know that you will have anxiety about that too. You won't have the comfort that the Heavenly Father wants to give you who for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ desires to give you all these things. God is the Heavenly Father, wants us to trust. He's even begging, as it were, in this passage, begging us to trust the Heavenly Father fully, to care for everything, basically, that we need. What a message for our children. You may teach your children, the God of creation who created you, the Heavenly Father, desires your trust in Him for all you need. He desires you to seek His kingdom. And He desires you to trust Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also for the righteousness that He can supply. You may teach your children that the Lord is giving. He's a cheerful giver who knows how to provide for each and every one of us. No, He's not entitled to us. Except that we may humbly plead Him to keep those promises. That's the message of the Lord Jesus, a God who cares for our daily need, a God who desires to give our food and clothing. He's the one who gives us life. Would He not give us what we need for life? What you need for parenting? That's the message that comes to us this morning, and the message that we may teach our children. If you don't trust them, it adds trouble to your day, the Lord Jesus shows in the other verses. But you may trust Him. What a positive way to live, the Lord Jesus is teaching us here. What a beautiful task you have as parents to learn this and model this and teach this to your children. We can learn of the Savior for our parenting, can we? Simple methods that He used. He pointed to the birds, He pointed to the flowers and to the grass to teach us lessons about spiritual realities. He asked us penetrating questions so that we would realize what we are doing when we don't seek God's kingdom first. Congregation, the Lord Jesus calls us again to trust Him and to seek His kingdom first. Now the question comes to you one more time. Have you been doing this? Have you been doing this? If you have not, then today is the day of grace, the time to confess that to the Lord and to repent. Today is that day of grace. We don't know about tomorrow. To cry out and say, Lord, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ who resisted those temptations, who came down from the goodness and the plenty of God the Father to save sinners and to go to the cross for sinners who often desire the plenty now instead of later. And who desire to build their own kingdom with the things and the idols of this world. Today is the day to lay your idols before the Lord and ask Him to guide you in trust for every moment of your life. But if this has been by grace your lifestyle, and not only your tongue, but also your life, is singing this song, seek ye first the kingdom of God, you're truly blessed. You're heading for the kingdom of heaven, where He will be king, where you will never lack anything, because God will supply everything in Himself, in a new heaven and a new earth. That's the perspective. And we learn to deny ourselves and to use everything that we have for His kingdom. That's where we are heading when we are trusting in the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a Heavenly Father who takes care of you day after day, moment by moment. A Heavenly Father who for Jesus' sake loves you. And for Christ's sake is willing to forgive you. Now, if your life is singing that song, one day you won't sing that song, but you will continue to sing the hallelujahs. It will not weave anymore through this admonition, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But the hallelujahs will be the only thing that is heard, because God is good. God is gracious. God the Creator is the provider. God in Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners and idolaters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.